Africa's oldest independent country, Ethiopia, is made up of at least 80 different ethnic groups. However, the Horn of Africa nation has recently been going through a time of heightened tension between rival ethnic groups of Oromia and Somali. The two largest communities in Ethiopia, which share a border of more than 1,400 kilometers, have historically been witnessing minor conflicts over resources. But petty squabbles have turned into a real sticky situation since September, with both sides accusing each other of being behind deadly attacks. While the federal government declines to give exact figures, weeks-long fighting between Oromia and Somali communities is said to have killed hundreds of people and displaced over 100,000 others. And just like many other events unfolding in Africa, the violence in Ethiopia has not received media attention.
The current government, which took over in 1991, has made very significant positive steps in the last 15 years to try to rebuild the country and provide economic development, particularly in areas of infrastructure. But you still have people who feel that they have not been given the economic security they need, and therefore there's a lot of fighting that continues to go on through various regions, like we see in other parts of Africa.
Authorities in Oromia allege that the Somali region's paramilitary, Liu Police, is involved in the current wave of attacks. Rights groups have previously accused the Liu Police of human rights violations. The Somali regional government rejects the allegations, laying the blame on the Oromo Liberation Front, which is designated as a terrorist organization by the Ethiopian government. The Somali government has even gone further, accusing senior officials in the Oromia government of being among sympathizers of the Oromo Liberation Front. While conflicts have been common between the two bordering communities, the public finger-pointing by top regional officials is unprecedented and could fan the flames of divisions.
Well, you have many attacks on Ethiopia by so-called human rights organizations. And there was a state of emergency that was implemented last October for, I believe, 8 to 10 months. The problem is many of the opposition groups have a right to demonstrate, of course, but these demonstrations are quite violent. The opposition has military weapons. They have killed police. They have killed other innocent bystanders. And also some of these opposition groups, which claim that they're being ethnically motivated to attack the leadership of the country, they also calling for the overthrow of the country, they're calling for regime change.
Just like many other resource-rich countries in Africa, Ethiopia is also home to US troops who are stationed there under the pretext of fighting terrorism. But decades-long U.S. military presence in Ethiopia has had the least impact on the stability of the region, where Al-Qaeda-linked militants have for years been wreaking havoc.
The United States really depends on Ethiopia. They are a major military power in the area. They also provide a great deal of counterintelligence against terrorist operations. They have also been deployed in support of U.S. policies in trying to contain al-Shabaab. So I think that Ethiopia remains a very strong ally of the United States.
Ethiopia, which has the strongest army in the Horn of Africa, has played a key role in easing tensions between two disintegrating states, South Sudan and Somalia. However, the recent wave of clashes between Ethiopia's Oromia and Somali communities could have a spillover effect on neighboring countries given their shared ethnic ties.
Yeah.
West African nation of Togo has seen a fresh wave of anti-government protests in which several are reported to have died and many wounded. The protests have been continuing since August, but they have gathered momentum lately as calls are growing stronger for an end to the life of a political dynasty that has been ruling the country for half a century now. The opposition, which is leading the rallies, has called for reinstating limits to the presidential term and has, to the same effect, demanded the resignation of its president. Togo's president, who has been ruling since 2005 after a 38-year presidency by his father, has so far responded with violence. Concerns are now already rising that the situation in the former French colony could deteriorate sooner or later.
People in Togo are extremely agitated about the failure of the Nasengbe regime in regard to their incapacity to institute any type of genuine reforms inside the country. And this has, as you mentioned, been going on at least for the last 25 years. There was a democratic movement that evolved in the early 1990s. There was a new constitution that was drafted, but it has never been formally implemented. Over the last 2 months, there have been demonstrations that's attracted hundreds of thousands of people. There are 14 different opposition parties and coalitions that are calling for the resignation of the current government, the holding of internationally supervised elections to bring about some type of democratic system in that West African country.
The situation in Togo became tense this past week after the government arrested a key opposition figure over charges of inciting the public. The government has also accused the protesters of engaging in looting, vandalism, and destruction of public properties in several cities that it says amount to acts with terrorist intent. Amnesty International, in a statement, has called on Togo's government to refrain from using force against protesters. It has specifically warned that the use of force could radicalize protesters in the country, in which it said the situation of human rights is deteriorating at an alarming rate.
This government that's in power now in Lomé is clearly not acting in the interest not only of the people inside of Togo itself, but also Africa as a whole. There's been a historic link between the struggles against colonialism, neo-colonialism, and imperialism in Africa.
The government has announced a series of reforms in response to the protests. They include reinstating the presidential term limits, but the opposition views the reforms as part of a tactic to extend the president's term until 2030. The opposition has appealed for help from West African leaders, but desperate for their inaction, it has now turned to France for help. The opposition leader says he expects the French President Emmanuel Macron to intervene.
Now, this is a government that has been closely allied with France. Interestingly enough, in recent months, they had collaborated with the State of Israel to hold a summit meeting between various African states and the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, in an effort to undermine African solidarity with the Palestinians and the struggle of the people in the Middle East. However, because of the unrest that has spread throughout the country over the last 2 months, this summit meeting between Benjamin Netanyahu and several African heads of states has been indefinitely postponed. Some governments condemned this proposed summit, announced they would not participate in it, and of course it seems to be on hold at this time.
Togo is the only country in West Africa that has no presidential term limits, and few are optimistic that the change in leadership that the protesters want to happen will ever materialize. And with that, the situation in the country is expected to become only worse.